by birth. I was born in Indianapolis and grew up there and spent my first 22 or 23 years there. And I moved to Northwest Ohio 4 years ago with a ministry called Campus Outreach. And I've been the campus director at Bowling Green State University for the last 4 years. My wife will be sitting back. She's in the way back right now. But we got married 2 years ago in May, so we celebrated our second anniversary this past May. And then we had our first child a month ago. So she's going to be the one you hear crying at some point, I'm sure, during this service. But I'm really excited to be here. I'm glad that I have this opportunity. But also with an opportunity like this, I feel very intimidated because I'm feel like I'm just a kid. I'm just almost 28 years old, and there's some of you that have grandkids that are older than me that have experienced so much more life than I have, so I feel inadequate to do this in a lot of ways, and I feel the gravity of bringing God's word to people. So as we hop into this, I'm going to pray for this message today. I'm also going to pray for your guys' team in Honduras and the work that they're doing there, and also for our country with this past week with shootings in Minnesota and Louisiana and Dallas. Just want to pray for our country and for just reconciliation and that moving forward. So please bow your heads with me. I'll pray real quick. God, we're humbled. We're humbled that you would invite us to stand in your presence, and I'm personally humbled at the opportunity to preach your word. I pray, God, that you would be present here and that you would be the one speaking and that we would hear a message from you. And if there's anything that I say today that's incorrect, I pray that it would fall on deaf ears, that it wouldn't be heard and it wouldn't be listened to. God, we pray for the team that left this church and is in Honduras right now and for their ministry there. We pray, God, that you would get all the glory and that the gospel would go forth and that they would appreciate you in new ways as a result, and that lost hearts would get to hear the good news of Jesus Christ in a country far away from us today. We also pray for our country and for the loved ones of the men and women, or the men that lost their lives this week. We know that you are a God of justice. We know that you are a God of mercy. We know that you're a God that values life. And whenever life is taken, it burdens you. So, God, we pray for our country and its leaders that they would lead us with biblical principles, whether they're doing it intentionally or not, that they would guide us into an era of greater love for you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as part of Campus Outreach, we don't claim to do everything very well, but we do think that we do a couple things really well. And those two things are evangelism and discipleship. And what I want to speak about today is evangelism. So, it's a very intimidating topic in a lot of ways. It's a scary topic in a lot of ways, but I'm hoping that as we walk through this passage that I'm about to read, we'll be a little less threatened by it. And we'll realize that evangelism is not that scary, but in a lot of ways it's very scary. Or it's not that hard, but in a lot of ways it's very hard. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a passage of Scripture. So we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians 5, and we're going to read 11 to 21. We're really going to focus on 14 to 21, but I want to read 11 through 13 just to give us some context. So join with me here on the screen as we read 2 Corinthians 5, 11 to 21. Paul says, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you might be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, and therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So this is the passage we're going to dive into, but what I want to do first is just talk about what evangelism is and why it's important. So what is evangelism and why is it important? Evangelism is just the sharing of good news. Literally, the word evangelist just means bringer of good news. So in a sense, we're all evangelists of something. Everybody is an evangelist of something. It could be your kids. It could be your favorite sports team or your sports heroes, icons of the past. It could be a product line. For example, I love Apple. I got iPhone, iPad up here. You could be an evangelist for Apple. It could be anything. You're sharing the good news about something. But what is that thing? What is the good news that you're sharing about? And then also, why is it important? Number one, it's commanded. So in this passage, he calls all Christians ministers of reconciliation. All Christians are ministers of reconciliation. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, he says, therefore, go and make disciples. Evangelism is important because Jesus commanded it. And then also, why is it important? If you're sitting here today and you're a Christian, someone took evangelism seriously in your life at some point. You're here today because someone evangelized you. It could have been a parent. It could have been a friend. It could have been a pastor. Somebody took it seriously, and you're sitting here today in Christ because someone did. This is why it's important. This is why evangelism is important. But now I want to jump into what is the good news. So we talked about evangelism is the sharing of the good news. What is the gospel? What is the good news that we're talking about and Paul's talking about in this passage? 2 Corinthians 5:21 lays it out very clearly for us. He said, for God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is plain and simple, the gospel. God made this perfect, spotless lamb, Jesus, to become sin. And he takes our penalty. He bears the wrath of God that we deserved through our actions, that we might be clean and spotless. Another way to look at it is, if my phone right here represents sin, this is us. We're covered in sin. And Jesus is this perfect, spotless lamb. What he does, God makes him who knew no sin to become sin, so that we might be clean. We might be the righteousness of God. And now all of a sudden, rather than seeing you for the dirty sinner you are, deserving of eternal damnation, eternal separation from God, he sees you as the perfect, spotless one. Because Jesus pays the penalty for our sin when he dies on the cross. This is good news. This is good news for anyone who realizes what's at stake here. You could be eternally separated from God or welcomed in as a son and daughter. That's good news. That's what the gospel is. And the gospel is good news, not good advice. It's not good advice, but it's good news. So if somebody came in here, ran up here, and stood on the stage and said, hey, everybody, Ford says you should change your oil every 3,000 miles. That's good advice, but that's not going to change anybody's life. That's not really good news. It's really good advice if you want your car to run a long time, but it's not good news. Compare that with August 15th, 1945, when Japan surrendered in World War II. If you weren't alive then, you've seen pictures of people celebrating in the street, cities shutting down to celebrate. That's good news. The gospel's good news. It's not good advice. It's not here to just make some things a little bit better, make some things a little bit easier. It's good news that changes your life. And we see that in verse 17. Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If you have an encounter with the gospel, you will never look the same. It's going to radically change you. Good news radically changes you. You're not going to look the same. Every Christian needs to become an expert in the gospel. If you're a Christian, become an expert. Know the gospel inside and out and how it applies to your life in all kinds of different ways. If you're a Christian, be an expert in the gospel. And once you know the gospel and you know you're commanded to share it, you have to understand your role. What is your role in the process of evangelism? What's your role that you play? Let's look at verses 18 to 20. 18 to 20, it says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So the first point I'll make is that you're not in charge of people's salvation. You're not in charge of how people respond to the message of the gospel. It's not your job. God makes it very clear in this passage that he's the one reconciling the world to himself. And he's the one that's reconciled you to himself. The person who shared the gospel with you didn't cause you to become a Christian. God's spirit moving in your heart did. God's the one that reconciled you to himself. And God's the one that's going to reconcile the world to himself. You don't have to carry that burden. It's not on you. If you feel that burden, you don't need to. It's not up to you. It's not up to you to save anybody. And ultimately, he doesn't need you. God doesn't need you to save anybody. At one point when Jesus is entering Jerusalem, the disciples are praising him. They're praising him, and the Pharisees turn to him and say, rebuke them. Tell them to stop. They're worshiping you as God. And Jesus' response to them is, I tell you, if they were quiet, the stones would cry out. The stones would cry out and say the same things. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He could use the stones. He could use trees. He could use whatever he wants. He doesn't need you. Evangelism, you don't have to carry that burden. You don't have to do any of that. However, my next point is going to seem like it contradicts a little bit. You've been trusted with the ministry of reconciliation. Although he doesn't need you, he chooses to use us. Although he doesn't need us, he wants us to be a part of this. Why? He's gracious. He's gracious to us. He doesn't need us, but he chooses us. And he wants us to be a part of it so that we might get more of him. The more and more we engage in evangelism, the more and more we fall in love with the God who saved us. Here's what Philemon 1:6 says, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in this for the sake of Christ. He's saying, as you share your faith, you get to tap into some things that you wouldn't be able to experience otherwise. You're beginning to find a deeper base for this love you have for God. You're beginning to understand more and more what God has done for you. And I can say from personal experience, that's true. Sometimes I'm sitting there and I'm sharing the gospel with somebody and it's clicking in my head all over again. I'm getting to experience all over again. I'm saying, oh man, it really is that sweet. It really is that good. I had forgotten until I told you. I had forgotten all about it, but it's that good. And it's that sweet. He's trusted you with the ministry of reconciliation. Third, you're an ambassador for Christ. You're an ambassador. What does that mean? So an ambassador is a sanctioned representative. And he's also probably an expert on whatever he's an ambassador for. When America sends the American ambassador to Ireland, this guy's supposed to be an expert in American culture because he's promoting it. He's going over there to promote it. And also, he's sanctioned by the United States to do whatever he wants over there in relations to this country. So in the same way, he's saying, you're an ambassador of Jesus. That's a big deal. I don't know about you, but that's a big deal. you are officially sanctioned by the God of the universe that created everything, that is holding the very molecules in your body together by his word, to be an ambassador for the best news that there is. You're an ambassador of the good news. You're an ambassador of Jesus. But what comes along with that is what we were talking about earlier. You should be an expert. Be an expert. Never be asked the same question twice without an answer. There have been multiple times I'm sharing the gospel with somebody and they'll ask me a question and I'll think, man, I've never thought of that. I have no idea. But I'm going to find out. I'm going to get an answer for you. Find an answer that satisfies you. Just a few chapters earlier in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. I mean, picture this. Everywhere you go, there's a triumphal procession, a spiritual procession going before you. And everybody has these spiritual noses and they can smell Jesus on you. They can smell Jesus. And later on it says, to some, it will remind them that they're perishing and it's a horrible stench. But to others, it's the fragrance of life. Some people are